What up, folks? What it do? Welcome to another episode of the Best Advice Ever podcast. Yes, with your boy, Mike Goodwin, the bow tie comedian, sans the bow tie. And if you have been a longtime listener, or if this is your first time listening, I start every episode with the segment called On the Road Again. Because I'm a comedian, I'm typically on the road each week. Well, I wasn't on the road this week in terms of performing, but I was on the road this week. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. And as I've mentioned before, I'm a part of a business mastermind, and we have our quarterly get-togethers. The way that this mastermind is set up, we have two conferences. There's a conference that's in January, and there's one in June. Then every 3 months, there's a get-together, a quarterly mastermind get-together, where the conference is really big, and there are a lot of people, speakers, activities, and the quarterly getaways, not so big, much smaller, and you're able to connect with other mastermind members at the conference. Everyone's there, but just at the mastermind retreats are just the folks that are in a mastermind. And the way it's set up, it's like over a 3-day period. Everyone's there for 1 day. Everyone's there for 2 days, but everyone is there together for 1 day. So we came in on Wednesday, had sessions with just the folks that were in our, it's not even a cohort, but the folks that were there for that Wednesday session. Thursday, everyone came, we left, and then Friday, they continued with the new people that came in. And I must say, man, it's really been great. I, number one, am a person who is highly skeptical of a lot of things. And coaching being one of those, to some degree, I have no problem. And I don't think I've had problems seeking out coaches. In fact, I'm a coach now. I coach speakers and comedians. But over the last 7-8 years, I've had no problems hiring coaches, being a coaching programs, being a part of communities where you get to elevate your skill, you get to network with other folks. That's one of the biggest parts of a mastermind. It's not necessarily the access to the founder, even though that's a big reason, that's a big component of why people join. It's like, hey, I want to work with this particular person. But then you also have the collective intellect that's in the room. And you benefit so much from that. And in this particular mastermind, there are some pretty incredible individuals that are in the room. Now, I started out on the wrong foot, because when I got to the hotel, I realized that I had left my book bag at home. Now, my book bag typically has my chargers. That's what I missed the most. I had my chargers, my laptop, my iPad, my headphones, my books, notebooks, you know, things I wanted to kind of review while I was away. We're only away for 2 days, so it felt very immediate. It felt like, oh my goodness, how am I make 2 days without my bag, without my book bag? But I made it. I made it, and I doubt that I'll ever leave my book bag at home again. I've had some, man, 2024, I've been making some errors. But I left my book bag. That's the way I started. But it was very good. Very great insights. Matter of fact, and I'm going to talk about this a lot, but I'm initiating, starting tomorrow, Operation 5%. Operation plain sight. What this means is I'm going to increase my visibility on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is an interesting platform because I desire to do corporate work. I desire to work with organizations. I desire to do keynote and trainings. I desire to work with speakers and executives and leaders and helping them be better communicators, be more confident on stage, be more engaging on stage, be more humorous. Well, LinkedIn is the perfect place to find my target audience and to establish expertise and competence. So I learned that was something that I learned, or that was something that, because I've always been in my back of my mind, like, bro, I need to step it up over there at LinkedIn. But I don't know how y'all feel about LinkedIn, but it just feels a little awkward to me. But I'm going all in on LinkedIn. So let's evaluate this 6 months from now, a year from now. How much traction will I garner from really increasing my content on LinkedIn? As a matter of fact, I read a post, copied in my, that's why I call it Operation 5%. LinkedIn needs content, but someone had posted that out of the 1 million subscribers or users, and that may be more than that, only 5% of the subscribers or folks that are on LinkedIn post weekly. I was like, oh, it's about to go down. So watch me while I work. This is you can watch me as I execute, because this is what I will be doing. I'm going to make LinkedIn, my friend. We got a lot of business clarity. Also, being on the road, we went to the Carolina Cup, which is in my hometown of Camden, South Carolina, which I have not gone to regularly. I've probably been to the Cup 3 times in my life. Yesterday, well, this past weekend being the third. And the Cup is it's like a Kentucky Derby. I don't know, I've not been to the Kentucky Derby, but I think it would be similar. It's a version, a smaller version. But I would like to submit this question to the listening audience. Have you ever bombed in your relationship? Because that's what I did at the Cup. I bomb, and oftentimes in social settings where my wife and I go together, and there's multiple places for someone to be. So an example of this is homecoming. Or any, like, the mastermind isn't, I don't bomb at the mastermind, because if we're out somewhere socially, everybody's in the same place. Like, we did karaoke at the mastermind. This was the first time I think I did karaoke. I might have done it before. But I was open, and I did Slick Rick. Bedtime story, but my mic went out. But in instances like that, where there's a wedding, a mastermind scenario, we're contained in one place. But like the Cup, I can disappear. And what I typically do, this is why I bomb a lot in my relationship in those instances, I try to maintain like my wife and our like hanging out, and then me going and fellowshipping with people that oftentimes they're folks that it would be awkward for my wife to kind of just be standing there while me and a friend of mine talk about catching up over the last 15 minutes, last 15 years, but it probably takes 15 minutes. So I'm of the opinion, let me go run my errands. Let me go and knock out these conversations. Then I'll be back. But where I fail and where I bomb is I take way too long. I'm never accurate about how much time it would take. And so my wife feels that I'm not considerate or thoughtful of her. And I'm very thoughtful. That's why I go and try to do the things. But I never get back. So I bomb. A bomb, and we in a spot in our marriage right now. We in a little uncomfortable, had a very uncomfortable conversation. And it's about how people feel, right? My wife feels like I'm not being considerate. I'm not trying to produce an comfort, being concerned about her comfort. I'm on the other hand, like, hey, man, you're a grown person. I don't want to put you in uncomfortable scenarios. So I'm more thoughtful of like, oh, let me go and have these discussions. I mean, it's not even anything. That's why this is a crazy part. I don't know, man. I'm social to the 10th power. And I don't often move socially as an individual. Because I don't think my wife is on the level of social, or just from our times in the times past, she'll be social and then it'll be like, okay, I'm ready when you're ready. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not ready. So to avoid the I'm ready when you're ready conversation, I just go and then I come back, right? Versus going and I'm kicking it, I'm having a blast, we're having a good time. And she like, I'm ready whenever you're ready. And I'm like, ooh, not going to be ready for a while. But yeah, bombed big. And yeah, man, it's 24 years of marriage too. So, you would not think I would be bombing like this at this stage. But I am. And I wanted to share that with you because that's the reality of a marriage and relationship. You navigate and you compromise and you figure out how to not make the same error again. And so that is where I am. And that is what happened on the road. Now, for the part of the podcast that you've tuned in for, that's been this is the crux of what I do here. I offer the best advice from my experience, from my time here on planet Earth, from what I see. And I see a lot. Experienced a lot. I mean, today it was a conversation that I had with a family member, and we had a number of conversations that were pretty spirited, very spirited conversations where I'm just like, hey man, what are you talking about? But today's best advice ever is simply feed your faith, not your fear. And I'll say it again. Feed your faith and not your fear. And it's hard. It's very difficult. Some of us have the inclination to worry. I don't have that inclination. I don't have the worry inclination. I have the critical inclination. And I see people that have the worry inclination. People that, oh, what time? Is something happened? What did you find out? Did you hear back? Did you get an email? Did someone call? Like, they're anxious. They're worriers. They don't feel secure and safe. So they're concerned about their safety. I don't have those concerns. I'm not, very seldom do I feel unsafe. I can think of moments. But I move in this earth pretty unaware of my privilege. That's a great example. I have a friend of mine who does stand-up comedy. She's female, a young lady, a woman that does stand-up. And she talks about how she doesn't feel comfortable, safe when she does these open mics at night. Me, being a big black dude, never thought of it. Never thought that someone could have cost me on my way to the car at 11 o'clock at night, or some comic can corner me and, you know, make some unwanted advances. That's just not how I'm wired. So I don't camp out in fear. I camp out in criticality, if that's a word. I camp out in critique. And negative. I don't know if it maybe I'm more crucial than negative, because I don't know. I don't think I'm negative, but I definitely can be. I could be mean-spirited and critical if I'm not careful, if I'm not aware of my interactions. I could come home and I could see my children and I could say, why your shoes aren't tied? First thing I see is untied shoelaces. Not, hey man, congratulations on getting accepted to this club, or I see you took the trash out, my man. Or I see that you fixed your bed. Like, no, like, why is your shoes untied? You know, why is your book bag not in your room? You know, that I'm scanning the earth and I'm finding things that I could point out that are flawed, right? So today's best advice is not something that is intuitive to me. I really dislike fear. And I don't like being afraid. And I, even when I am afraid, I clench my teeth and I persevere. I'm like, hey man, we gotta get it done. And we gotta make it happen. And so feed your faith, not your fear. I do live in the realm of possibility and optimism. I believe that it can happen. I believe that I can make it bigger, faster, stronger. I believe that I could, again, with LinkedIn, I believe that I can increase my profile out here in these social media streets. Now, it might not be through the typical Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, but let me get popping over here on LinkedIn and let my message ring out so that people are aware and like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because most folks, if they have a Facebook and Instagram, they got LinkedIn. They're just not over there kicking it, right? They're over there conducting business. And so I would encourage you to feed your faith. Now, and again, that's a simple request, but some of the tangible things that you can do is have affirmations that you not only read, but you live them out. There's a level of like, oh, I'm going to read this affirmation. No, but I'm going to live this affirmation. And I say it more than just in the morning when I get up. Like, I constantly remind myself of who I am when I'm feeling a little uneasy or uncertain about who I am. That's what I do. I do that a lot. I tell myself, man, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and never beneath, right? I speak life into my scenarios when I'm feeling uneasy, when I'm getting afraid. I say, no weapon formed against me should probably, like, it's in my DNA, like my, so to some degree, it's second nature to me to lean on my faith as opposed to, oh, this might not work out. This might not go my way. This might not be my, something's going to happen. I call it the oil change scenario, right? You go get your car, you hear knocking in your car, or your lights come on, and oh, I got to go take it to get serviced, right? And you've created this scenario. It's going to cost $1,000,000, right? They're going to replace the carbonator and the alternator and the transmission and the timing belt and the brake pad. Everything is going to be 3 years of university tuition. That's how much it's going to cost. Then the person comes out, the guy comes out with his little clipboard, Mr. Goodwin. Like, can I speak? Yeah. They did it, this, that, and this, 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 and that, and this. It'll be $450. Ah! I got $450. What are y'all talking about? Yeah, it'll be $800. It's a little more than I had been anticipating, more than I would have thought. Not more than I would have, because I thought it was going to be $1,000,000,000. $1,000,000,000, right? But it's never as bad as you think it is. And maybe sometimes it is as bad as you think it is. But you know it's finite. It's finite. It's been established. But when you're abstract and you're hypothetical and your mind can just run away like a freight train, like you just, holy smokes, what's going to happen? This person's going to get in power, and then this person's going to do this, and then these people are going to do that, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And you just work yourself up in fear. And I would encourage you to work yourself up in faith. And one of the ways you can do that, like I said, live out your affirmations. Don't just quote your affirmation. The other one is surround yourselves with high achievers. And again, I think about this a lot because it's hard. These are not easy. They're not high achievers that are sitting around waiting for people to be their friends. It's going to take some diligence. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some resilience. And maybe they won't be your call on the phone friend. Maybe this is a friend that you listen to their podcast every week. And this is a friend that you read their books and you go and find interviews in which they were on. And you just hear their perspective on things. You got to challenge the information that you have. Oftentimes, the people that often live in fear, it's entrenched. And you got to dismantle that stinking thinking. That's what, you know, one of my pastors would call it, stinking thinking, right? Renewal of your mind, like a daily, deliberate, consistent. And it doesn't even have to feel laborious or tedious. It's just like, oh, I'm going to revisit this stuff when I get up. I'm going to revisit it at lunch. I'm going to revisit it before I go to bed. Like, I'm going to make it second nature. I'm going to find ways to constantly hear it. Like, so if I'm taking a walk, I do a 30-minute walk. Let me play this. Let me play me saying the affirmations. Let me record the affirmations on my phone. And for 30 minutes, I'm going to listen to myself read these affirmations so I can get it down in my DNA. I can get it down on the inside. It can go beyond my head and live in my heart, right? Also, the thing that you can do, and this is something that we have a listener of the podcast, there's a little slight conflict, but educate yourself. Read magazines, books, audio books, like get great information inside of you. You know what happens when you get great information inside of you? It dislodges the bad information. It unearths some of the stinking thinking, some of the poor mindsets, some of the fixed mindset that you have in it illuminates growth opportunities. So yeah, man, I don't just listen to the music in the car. Don't just hum away your world. Like, get in there and do some brain surgery. Get on the New York Times bestsellers list and just, man, if you're in the car, listen to an audio book, listen to a podcast, listen to an interview, listen to TED Talks, listen to sermons, listen to information that will cause you to replace erroneous thinking. Build up your faith. Build up your faith so much so that there's not room for fear, right? And fear's going to be there. It's not like, fear's like dust. Like you could say yesterday, man, I dusted this. I don't know if y'all people of my era. We had to dust the house, man. We had to get pledge and we had to get a rag and we had to dust. And you would dust. You would move the TV and you would move books, pictures, and you would dust. You would show enough dust. Like we even had like a glove. You could put your hand inside of like this catcher's mitt for dust, right? And you come back an hour later, dust like, what up though? I like that lemon tasted line. I like that lemon pledge. It's so tasty. Could you do a double coat next time when you come back through, right? You have to do it every day. You have to do it every day. Daily renewal. Renew your mind daily. Forget daily. Sometimes it might even be hourly. You might have to hourly renew your mind on some things. There's some things that I need to renew my mind on. On a regular basis, I need to renew my mind on this social situation with me and my wife, right? We got to get some new thoughts in there because the thoughts I have, they're not working. They've not worked. It is not producing the outcome that I want. That's the question, boy. What do you want? Do you want to just be in fear and looking across over your shoulders? Gloom and doom, the apocalypse is coming? Or do you want to be able to lay down at night with a smooth, easy conscience? And so here's the other part, and I will transition on. You got to envision it. You got to see it. So the same way that people see fearful things happening. I was talking to this kind of based because I gave this advice to someone this weekend. But they could see things that were potentially going to happen. This hadn't happened. There's no record of, but she felt, she knew, she could see it. And I'm like, man, could you envision that for yourself? Can you envision where you're going to be in 6 months? Like, what's your ideal weight? What would you have accomplished? What would you have done 6 months from now versus this hypothetical bigger man that's out there? So I encourage you to feed your faith. Starve your fear, man. Don't give your fear nothing. Water, nothing. Your fear, like, your fear survive, man. You just give it a little piece of morsel, and then, ooh, it's like you gave a four-course, five-course meal. Starve your doubts. Starve your fears. Starve your misconceptions. And feed your vision of the way you want your life to be. Man, feed that. And hopefully, if you feed it enough, one day you will live and walk in it. All right. That's been the best advice ever. Transitioning now to the mind of Mike. The mind of Mike. I see things and hear things, and it kind of catches me off guard. Social media is a place that's very interesting. I saw that there was an event happening this weekend, and people are in the comments. It's going to be a movie. You know, when people tell you it's going to be a movie, they don't say it's going to be a horror flick. They think it's going to be a blockbuster movie. They're not going to say it's going to be a flop. It's going to be a horror film. No, it's going to be a movie. Well, every movie is not a blockbuster. That's all I'm trying to tell you. A shout out to the Super Bowl of Sundays. Resurrection Sunday, Easter if you're old school, Easter if you're nasty. Both of my children were baptized this past Sunday. Wow, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Words cannot describe the feeling of seeing your children profess their faith publicly. That's pretty cool. Last but not least, we're going to get out of here on to what you're not going to do. Again, we're in the March Madness, in the throes of March Madness, and I'm a huge South Carolina Gamecocks fan, and as you know, our women's team has made it to the Final Four, and I'm often amazed at fans, right? Fans, I was having a conversation with someone, and I think we're talking about the men's team, and basically, this is one of the sayings that really grinds my gear. It chaps my, I don't know what chaps, the expression for chaps is, but it grinds my gears. And it's the idea, you know, you're talking about something and fans will say, let's not get carried away. Just one season, you know, these guys broke the record or tied the record for most wins in a season, made it to the NCAA tournament, was in contention for an SEC championship, a regular season championship. And someone will tell me, let's not get carried away. You don't know what's going to happen next year. We're losing this one and we're losing that one. And I'm like, yes, I will get carried away. Because getting carried away does nothing but hurt my feelings? Why should I temper my expectations? Because in the past, I got my feelings hurt. Because fans, we don't offer anything. I'm not going to 5 a.m. workouts. I'm not the one that reporters are writing about. I'm not the one standing at the free throw line. So when fans say, let's not get carried away, it's such a milquetoast response. And again, I'm not the fan that's going to paint myself in body paint and stand out in 20-degree weather. But no, I'm not going to not get carried away. I am going to get carried away. This is my team. I support it. I'm an ardent supporter. I'm not hedging my bets. I'm not protecting my... Hey, man. I don't mind being disappointed. That's disappointing. That's a part of the human experience. You get angry. You get offended. You get frustrated. You make mistakes. You get carried away. That's part of being a fan, is to be able to be carried away. So I'm not, what you're not going to do is tell me to mute my emotions for the prospects that things don't work out the way I thought they would work out. And what? There's a million things that hadn't worked out the way I thought they were going to work out. And we still had a good time. And it still has been a good ride. And the journey's been outstanding. Speaking of that, the tour, let me, what you're not going to do is not give you an update of the tour. Like people are asking oftentimes, people ask you, how's the tour going? I feel like that's the same as somebody's asking you, how you doing? Oh man, I just lost my father a few months ago and it's really weighing on me. They're not trying to hear that. They want to quit. Oh, it's great. Super good. Oh, having a blast. How's the tour? Oh man, it's outstanding, baby. But the tour is, the interesting thing about the tour is that what people perceive it to be and what it is often don't line up. You know, we put out the flyer of the dates and people are like, oh my God, when are you gonna go home? But they don't even look at the dates. Like, hey man, I don't go back out until April 11th. So there's a lot of empty spaces between March 23rd and April 11th. I'm probably at home during that time period. So the tour is going well. You know what make the tour go better? For you to buy a ticket and to come out. And even if you don't buy a ticket for yourself, buy a ticket for someone that you know. Buy a ticket and give it away. Let me know. Hey, I'll give it away for you. Purchase a ticket. That's what matters. That's what makes the tour go well. But I do have dates. I'll be in Chicago, April 11th. Chicago, Rosemont. I'm also going to be in Marietta, Georgia, April 19th. So if you're in Atlanta, the surrounding areas, make your way out to the Earl Strand Theater on April 11th. I'm also going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. That's on May the 4th. Huntsville, that's May the 5th. These are all at either theaters or comedy locations. In Nashville, I'm at Zany's. Huntsville, I'm at a Stand Up Live, and then I'm doing a Comedy Zone run in July. Starting off on my birthday, July 18th, I'll be in Greenville, the upstate of South Carolina. Then I'm in I'm in Hickory, North Carolina on that following Friday. I'm in Greensboro that Saturday, and I'm in Charlotte on Sunday, July the 21st. So if you are anywhere near some of these locations, I would love to see your face in the place. Well, thank y'all again for tuning in to the Best Advice Ever podcast. Y'all like, subscribe, share, all the things. Even if you're on LinkedIn, go over there and find me, because I'm going to be getting it popping. Operation 5%, baby. But I appreciate you being here. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. I'll see you back here next Bat Channel. Back here, same Bat Channel, same Bat Place, same Bat Time. All right. Peace.